Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Marnie's Friends. This is Marnie Svedberg, and I'm so glad that you're along with us this afternoon or whatever time you're listening in. Thank you for being here. We have a great program for you today talking about a subject that most of us maybe don't like to think about all the time, and that's aging and how that affects us and what we need to do to prepare for it and what we need to do when we're helping other people go through it. And our guest today, Missy Buchanan, I'm so excited to have her on the show with us here. She's a best-selling author of several books that talk about this subject. One is Living with Purpose in a Worn-Out Body. I love that title. Another one is Talking with God in Old Age. I love this one. Don't Write My Obituary Just Yet. And then finally, Aging Faithfully. She's also the author of My Story and My Song and the author of a brand-new book called Joy Boosters. Welcome to you, Missy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being with you and to be with your listeners today.
Well, I need to take us back a little bit in history to a time when you started thinking about writing for old people and how that ever came about. But I wanted to share a short story first. We were just recently traveling, and we were introduced to a couple who had been married for 62 years, and they were so adorable, and they were so cute. And she was starting to lose some of her mental capacities, and he was just so sweet, and just you could tell, just looked at her with eyes of love, and just, I'm going to take care of you eyes. It was so precious. But, you know, I had this thought, actually, as we were coming up to today's program. I thought, you know, I describe them as cute, and they're adorable, and I think someday I'm going to be cute and adorable, but, you know, I don't really want to be cute and adorable. I really want to still be me.
Right. And the thing is, you will be.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And they are still them. They are still them.
That's true.
But at what point did you say, you know, there needs to be something written for the people who are moving from the extremely active stage of their life into the stage of their life where they're one by one releasing things that maybe defined them in the past, and now they are going forward without those items, without those life support things?
Well, you know, I'm so glad that you asked that. And also, I'm so thankful to your listeners for hanging in there, because listeners, don't hang up, because this is a tough topic. You know, a lot of people don't want to talk about aging, and yet we must and we should. And if we think about it, we all know someone who is growing more frail.
Mm-hmm.
It could be our parents, it could be our grandparents, it could be, you know, the person next door, it's someone in our church. And we often don't allow ourselves to stand in their shoes and to try to understand what life is like for them as it changes, mm-hmm. you know, as they go through these different transitions. And yet, you know, if we really allow ourselves to be compassionate, as we are called to be, we will stand in those shoes and try to understand what it is they're feeling. I came about writing for older adults. I always tell people, it's not like I woke up one day and said, gee, I think today I'm going to start writing for older adults. You know, it did not happen that way. But God always has a plan, you know, and sometimes it's surprising to us. And in my situation, I was very surprised, because it was out of experience with my own aging parents. They were very active, or really into their 80s, probably close to their mid-80s, when they were still driving people to deliver meals on wheels,
sure.
to others.
Mm-hmm.
And they were still active in their churches and able to drive and do and go and see and whatever. But life changes. Now, for my parents, it was change over time. But for others, it'll be some event that happens, a health crisis or someone dies, you know, some event that totally changes their life. And as sons and daughters, as grandsons and granddaughters and friends, we have a hard time when we see them go into that area of decline. For me, and I always tell people that I confess that I was so focused on my parents' physical needs that I overlooked their spiritual needs. And it was at that point that I think God really put on my heart to write. Not, I was not intending to write for others. I was writing for my own parents. I had gone to the bookstore, and I was really trying to find some resources that I could have on their nightstand, you know. And when it was long afternoon, and, you know, they just needed that encouragement. And so I remember going to the bookstore, and I asked for devotionals for seniors. Well, they took me to the graduation section. So that was my first clue. Okay, okay. And I, you know, I don't mean graduating seniors. I mean senior adults. And what I discovered, there were a lot of resources, but they were about them and not to them.
For them. Mm.
And so I began to write, again, for my own parents, just writing about things that were specific to the aging process. I mean, things that can go from varicose veins and yellow toenails to, I mean, some are funny, you know, it's bingo, it's just all kinds of things, but things that were unique, I think, in many ways to their lives. And I just began to write for them. And what happened was that they began to share it with friends that lived at the same senior care facility where they did. And I started getting all this feedback. Oh, these help us. You don't know how much these help us. So it went from there to getting published into a book. That first book was Living with Purpose in a Worn-Out Body, and I believe it's now in its fourth printing, and this is since 2008. So it just shows that there's a tremendous need for this. You know, we just, again, we don't allow ourselves to think about what it's like, and we forget how much loss that many of them have gone through. I always say, you don't get to the far end of life's timeline without having experienced loss, whether it's a loss of a loved one, of a spouse, of friends, of family, or if it's the loss of a home. You know, if they've downsized or they've moved into a retirement community, they've had to get rid of things, so they say. You know, they don't have room for all the things that they once had, things that they had worked for so long to acquire. Then there's always the loss of independence, you know, can't drive in many cases, or physically unable to do the things that they once did. And so that whole loss of independence and the loss as a general subject is really huge when we start thinking about older adults. And so that's the reason I kind of came about to write Joy Boosters.
Right. And Joy Boosters is actually a little different from your other books. This one is really a little idea book.
It is, and it's a very thin book, but I always say it's a thin book with big ideas, because it's one that I hope, it's a very practical idea book, and it's one that I wrote not for the older adults themselves, but for the children, for the sons and daughters, for the grandsons and granddaughters, for church members who are struggling to know what to do when they go visit Mrs. Jones, who's in assisted living, and, you know, they feel like all they do is just go and look at each other. And so it's to give them some ideas, some real practical how-tos in what they can do. Because I kept hearing a lot of the adult children say, you know, I don't know what to do for Mom. I want to do something. I just don't know what to do. And I think there are many, many people that are in that same kind of situation.
Interesting. Well, we're going to get back to the topic of aging here in just a moment, but I wanted to spend a minute for those of you, so many of you who listen are writers, and you have a dream for a book, or you're part of the way through, or you've written one or two and you're writing some more. And I love your story, Missy, of how you started writing just for, you were actually writing for, to meet a need that you had with your own parents. You
started
to need something spiritually written down for them. And you responded to that need, and that kind of developed and grew into different things. We're going to talk in a little bit about how that grew into your relationship with Good Morning America hostess. And how what you have done really is you took just a seed that was in your thoughts, and you allowed that to really grow and to blossom and to become a tree with many branches. You actually have six books now, and they're all along the same line of thought, but they're very different even for different audiences. You've got all the way from, you know, the ones that are just for the seniors, and then you have the ones for more for their children, and then you have the ones for even the children, the grandchildren, what to do with grandma and grandpa, all the way around. And it's such a beautiful picture of how something can develop from one idea if you will just let it go. Maybe can you tell us at any point along the way of letting this flow through you, where were you the most maybe thinking, I'm not sure that this was supposed to get like this. I'm not sure that I'm doing the right thing.
Well, you know, there is some of that. I can remember when I actually started to turn those devotions into printed form, you know, and you're beginning the editing process and the whatever. And I remember that my publisher wanted to change the title of that first book. Because they, you know, there was concern that it was a little, I'll say, in your face, living with purpose in a worn-out body, that people don't want to be reminded that they're in a worn-out body. And I understand, I totally understood what their thinking was, and I think they wanted to change it to sacred living or something like that. And I remember, I just remember this so well, that I was like laying in bed at night, and I was just, I had received that they wanted to change the title, and I'd already signed my contract, and it was so thankful for that. You know, it was totally an unexpected blessing. So thankful. But my heart just was saying, no, it needs to stay that title. It needs to stay the title. You know your audience. You know your audience. And indeed I did, you know, and I remember taking it back to, you know, all these people that lived in the retirement communities, and I visit three different ones every week, and these people are my friends, and I remember taking that other title to them and saying, what do you think about this? And they all would look at me like, oh, no, that's just not right, you know. And I remember having to come back and think, okay, am I going to say anything to my publisher? I mean, who am I? I'm a nobody. You know, I've never published a book like this before. You know, what do I know? But I think God was putting on my heart, but you know your audience. And I drafted an email, a long email of full explanation, saying, I realize that you have the right to control the title. I do understand that, but I just want you to know. And I gave them my reasons, and having talked with my older friends and why they thought it was important, because they were saying, if you are in that situation, if you are in physical decline, you understand it. You get that title right off the bat. And the people that might be, you know, that it might just kind of ping a little bit are those that are afraid to think about that. Mm-hmm. But that's not really my audience, you know. And so thankfully they went with it, and that, you know, and they will say now, we're glad you listened to your audience. But that was a real take a big breath kind of moment in this whole process, you know. Just
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I love the title. I feel like the title, Living with Purpose in a Worn-Out Body, is kind of like a smile and a wink.
It is. Yeah, it is. And for those that are, you know, I'm a boomer, and I totally understand, you know, it's not like I'm looking forward to, you know, well, I already have the creaky knees, but you know what I'm saying? None of us look forward to that. But we have to always know that God's with us through it all, and that he has purpose in that. And in that, then, we can find the joy.
Absolutely. So cool. Well, this is Marty Swedberg. We're visiting today with Missy Buchanan, the author of a brand new book called Joy Boosters, as well as several other books. We're going to come back and talk about Don't Write My Obituary Just Yet. We'll be right back.
Do you ever need speakers for dinners, retreats, conferences, or other women's events? Check out www.womenspeakers.com. It's the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, featuring over 1,500 Christian women speakers, some near you, and some from every level of experience and fee range you can imagine. So you're sure to find lots of great speaker options for you and your next event over at www.womenspeakers.com. That's womenspeakers.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Marnie, and we're visiting today with Missy Buchanan. She's the author of several books for people who are themselves aging, but also people who have aging parents and are trying to figure out how to best be supportive to them and their aging friends. And we're going to go kind of several directions today, but I wanted to spend this next little segment talking about one of Missy's books called don't write my obituary just yet. I love that title. Again, it's a smile and a wink, and you know that it's going to be a little bit of fun in here as well as some practical tips. Don't write my obituary quite yet. Now, this book sounds like it's really for someone who is just about, you know, I mean, they're, people are looking at them like, I think you're kind of done in, but maybe they have a little spunk left, or who did you write this to?
Indeed they do. Indeed they do. But, you know, what's interesting about this is that they cover the range in age is from 71 to 101.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really quite an age span when you think about it. And it's like a little slice of these people's lives. And these are not, they're not known names, you know. In fact, I call them each by their first names. But they're not celebrities or, you know, famous CEOs or whatever. They are ordinary people, but who are just choosing to live out their lives in extraordinary ways. You know, they are still finding purpose. They've got that spunk. And what's interesting is that in every situation they are dealing with some kind of challenge, whether it's physical, you know, there's everything from cancer to heart disease to diabetes and, you know, all the ramifications of that to, you know, having just lost a spouse and having lived in one home forever since she was on her honeymoon and then lost her husband and moved into a senior care center. You know, just all kinds of situations that run the gamut. But in each and every case, they're leaning on God and they are finding purpose in their lives. And so I wanted other people to hear their stories. It's not like a biography. It's just like a little slice of their life.
And there's 30 individuals that you actually spotlight in that book.
Absolutely. 30 different individuals. In one case, or two cases, I think there's a husband and wife together. But, yeah, I know the opening story is the woman that I was just telling you about that her name is Betty, and she had lived in the same house since she'd been on her honeymoon and had raised her children in that house. Then her husband died, and she had to move into a retirement community. And it's about her attitude. I mean, it is about how she chose to say, I'm going to move here and I'm going to like it, basically. And it's just, you know, how she chooses the positive instead of looking at all the things that, you know, she's lost. It's like, but look what I've gained. And I think, you know, all of us can learn from that. All of us.
Yeah, speak to that, because certainly in doing the research you've done and spending as much time as you do with the elderly, what role does attitude play, and what are some things that even we can do now, looking forward to that stage of life, to prepare ourselves more for what would be the best attitude to have?
You know, I tell people when I speak to groups, you know, I talk about how aging is not just a state of mind, it's also a state of body. And that it's those two things combined. While we may not can do anything about our genetic makeup, you know, we can do things, obviously, about, you know, whether it's exercise and nutrition and all those things that we know we should do and hopefully are doing to prepare, you know, as we age. But it's so much about, in spite of whatever may come your way physically, that having your eyes on God will keep you in a positive frame of mind. And that's just so important, considering all the changes that are going on, you know. And I look at some of these people and I think, my goodness, you know, that all the things that they've lost to me, when I first look at it or think about it, I think, oh, my goodness, you know, one woman I know, she's just a joy. I visit her every week. She can no longer see. She has diabetes, so she has all kinds of health issues and whatever. She has the most joyous spirit. And when I go in to visit her each week, I'll say, how are you doing today? And she'll say, I'm fine. God's with me. I thought, you know, can't we all learn from that? Can't we all learn from that? And she has a smile on her face. You know, and that's, I always tell her, that's how I want to be when I grow up.
Yep.
That's how I want to be. But yes, attitude. You know, like I said, there's so much that we don't have control over in terms of our genetics, but we can certainly have control over our attitude.
around our house, we oftentimes will remind each other of Philippians 4:8, which is, you know, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely or admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. And, you know, as the circumstances start to press in, sometimes we get all focused on what's hard about it instead of what's great in our lives. And we have so much to be thankful for. And even if the only thing we had left was that God loved us, that would still be more than enough to hold on to and to rejoice in. I love that phrase. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me.
And the thing is, as we age, you know, I know that some older adults do get bitter, and it's sad, you know, when they do. But we have a responsibility as family members and as church members and community people, whatever, you know, to be there to remind them, because it's easy for them to forget. You know, they feel, if you go into a nursing home sometime and you see so many people with their heads down and, you know, it's kind of chin to chest, and yet if you get down and you put your hands on their knees, you will see them lift their heads up and usually a smile come across their face. And we just don't take the time to do that like we should.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever, I'm putting you on the spot here with this one, have you ever been in a situation where there was someone that you were working with that was not depressed maybe clinically, but that was very sad, on and on sad, and you were able to nurture out some joy for them, to help them find their joy again? Is there a story that you could tell us about that, either yourself or someone in one of your books?
Well, this is one, I mean, this is just one that stays in my heart because it was such a meaningful moment. But there was a man who was very bitter, I would say. He was very hard to love, I'll put it that way. And he was a new resident at a facility where I visit each week. And I saw the impact that he was having on others. And it was very upsetting to me because he was, because of his attitude and his bitterness and just, pity party, you know, was just making it difficult for the others then. And that's where I became kind of angry, thinking, oh, but he's hurting my friends, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking, I've got to think about, you know, what do I think Jesus would do in this situation? How would Christ handle this? You know, he would be loving. So I went over to this gentleman. I did not know him, you know, and I introduced myself. And I just remember he was just not very nice. You know, I don't know how to say it. He was not very nice. And but each time I would meet him, I would try again and try again. One day, he came over. He had asked my friends about, you know, who I was and what I was doing there and whatever. And one day, and it was probably about a month after I had met him, he drove his power chair over to me, and he stopped right beside me. And I thought, oh, my goodness, he's coming to chew me out or something, you know. And he said, without even lifting up his head, he said, I have cancer. Mm. And I looked, I mean, he lifted his eyes, and I looked in his eyes, and I put my hand on his, and I said, I am so sorry. I will pray for you. And he looked at me, he said, that's why I came over here. I knew you would. Wow. You know, I thought there was this little door that opened, you know, to an opportunity to, you know, witness with him, but in a way that was very easy and non-threatening. And you know, I don't know what eventually happened, because he had to move, and he had to move away, and I had written him and whatever, and so I'm still not sure exactly what happened. But I do know that that moment changed my life, and I think it changed his. And I have to hang on to those little moments, you know. And I can't. It was joy, not in a, you know, boyish kind of joy. But there was a joy. There was something about him that I think he went away with a different feeling and a different spirit than what he came with, and that touched my heart.
I think that is such a good story for all of us, whether we're working with someone who's older or younger, or if they're, you know, bitter, or if they're just running away from God in, you know, whatever way, in rebellion as a teen or whatever. A lot of times, if we don't get an immediate response, we just quit. We just
like me, I was angry. You know, I really didn't want to do it.
Right.
And if I had wanted to do what I, if I'd done what I wanted to do, it would have been just to walk away, you know. And right. But I just did not let myself do it that time. So.
Yeah, I love how you said that. What would Jesus have done if he was there right then? And
myself.
He, of course, that's right. And of course, you know, he is inside of us, and that's what he wants us to do, is just be his hands and feet. I love that. I love that. When I think about your Joy Boosters book, I think, you know, you have story, I don't think you call them triggers, story prompts in there, mm-hmm. where you help us to help someone to start thinking a different way. Talk to us about story prompts and what that is and the value of that.
Well, you know, the entire first chapter of Joy Boosters is just filled with questions, and they're not mind-boggling questions, but they're, you know, some are more simple than others. But the whole point is just to, well, when you think about it, you know, older adults are like a library. You know, they're filled with wonderful stories. But sometimes we think because we know a person well that we've read all the books, that we know all the stories.
Mm.
And we really don't. I know that's true because I was 50 years old before I ever thought to ask my parents how they met. But it never dawned on me. I was the third of three kids, and, you know, my parents had been married all my life, and I never thought about it, you know. Well, I would have missed these wonderful stories had I not asked. And they didn't think to, you know, it wasn't that they were trying to keep it. They just hadn't thought to tell it. And so I just offer, you know, a list of questions, and certainly I would hope that people would take them and think of more. You know, they're just, those are just to get you started. And because when we honor the stories of that person, then we're showing them respect, and I think that's really huge. And it takes time to sit with an older adult and to ask the questions and to hear their answers, but it's important, and you will be blessed. I promise you will be blessed. So to ask things, you know, what was your first job? How did you learn how to drive? You know, who taught you, and what did you drive? Of what achievement are you the most proud?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you had no physical or financial limitations, where would you like to go? And to hear those answers and whatever. I remember one day I was visiting one of the retirement communities where I go each week, and on this particular day was a group of men, and I knew most of them. And they were eating. They were very quiet. I mean, there was no conversation going on. And so I just went over and began to talk. And I thought, well, I'm just going to ask them a question. So I said, what was the best vacation you ever had? Well, my goodness, they started telling stories about, you know, one of them had played golf on the St. Andrews course in Scotland. And one had taken his RV to Alaska and was gone for several months. And one had walked on the Great Wall in China. You know, and as they began to share their stories with each other, you know, I could see them just brightening up. I mean, it was just like...
Right.
It was. They had something that connected them. They were learning things about each other. They had sat together for, you know, several years, I know. And it was, sometimes conversation, I guess, just gets stale, and they needed something to get that spark going. So, you know, if you have aging parents or aging grandparents or, you know, that person that you go visit in the nursing home for your church, you know, just take along that little list of questions and Joy Boosters and just ask one each time you go. And you will be amazed at how that question will lead to others. And, you know, most of the time it just takes one to get the conversation ball going. And, you know, it's just a joy to sit there and hear those stories.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to come back. This is Marnie. We're visiting today with Missy Buchanan, author of Joy Boosters and several other books. And we're going to come back and talk about the transitioning stage. When you're moving from one stage of life to another, what we can do to help people move through those stages the best, and even what are some helpful tips for us to keep our equilibrium while our parents are moving along. We'll be right back.
The fastest and easiest way to find out which major women's events are coming to your area is to visit www.womensevents.info. That's womensevents.info. It's the only directory of its kind, and it features all of the major events like Women of Faith, Beth Moore, eConference Women, and so many others. It's free to search, and you can find it all at womensevents.info.
Well, this is Marnie. Welcome back to Marnie's Friends. I wanted to give you a big thank you today, all of our guests. We have been honored for several weeks in a row now to have the front page of Blog Talk Radio to just be selected, I think, because you're here listening. So they're recognizing that we have a lot of listeners out there, and I'm so grateful to each of you who come live. And I know a lot of you listening to my voice at this moment will be listening later. You're not at this moment with us. You're listening to the archive, and I appreciate all of you, too. But to those of you who are live here today, kudos to you, and thank you so much. And we're really excited that you join us each week for these training programs. And today we are visiting with Missy Buchanan. She's an author who's worked a lot with thinking about the aging process, working with senior citizens as well as their children and their grandchildren to help the process of aging maybe go a little more smoothly and a little more enjoyably. And I wanted to spend this next section talking about the transition stages. And Missy, before I pass the baton back to you here a little bit, my husband's father is now in a care center, and he's been in a care center for a little while, and he's kind of losing his mind to dementia, and he doesn't recognize us anymore. But I think that the hardest thing for me to watch with it, and my husband had his own hardest things, but the hardest thing for me to watch was the grieving process that his mom went through, and even my husband, as they lost Irv, as he faded away from mm-hmm. who he was into the person who doesn't usually recognize them at all, and yet he was alive, and so they couldn't really grieve as though he had died, because he hadn't. He was still there, and yet there was literally a grieving process going on. And maybe you can just address that for us just a little bit.
You know, that is huge. That is huge. And with Alzheimer's and other dementias, you know, growing at such a fast rate, there are just so many people that are facing that. I think... For me personally, I never experienced dementia with my parents, but I certainly visit a number of other people, and I have seen what it can do to families. And when we hear of it as being the slow goodbye, that's so very true. You know, that is just so very true. And so I think it's one of the things that we have to do in that grieving process is to be able to celebrate the today, whatever that is, and also to help staff members at the care centers to know that person who has dementia has had a long life in front of that. You know, they haven't always had dementia.
Right.
One of the ideas that I share in Joy Boosters and whatever I think is so applicable to a situation, particularly for someone who might have dementia, and that is to make a photo wreath, to take photos from that person's life. And I put mine on cardstock. You can copy them, you know, in black and white or however you want to do it, but then to mount them on a wreath that will go on that person's door. Because then when caregivers come, you know, or anyone who's working there or family members of other patients that come, they too are reminded, wow, you know, here's this man when he was fishing, and here he was in front of his business when he won an award, and, you know, all these things we need to remember and to be able to celebrate that life that came before. And then we have to look for the things to celebrate each day. And that, I think that is the absolute hardest. I really do. And I know it is a struggle, and I don't mean to make light of it, because it's not an easy thing to do. My husband's brother has Alzheimer's, and I know his family is struggling with that right now. And we were talking about it just yesterday about, you know, how to talk with him, and they were trying at first so hard to convince him of, you know, that he had information down wrong, if he thought that it was 2001 instead of, you know, 2013, and that they've learned to let go of that with
right.
him, that it's okay. Just, you know, okay. go yeah. with him in that and have that conversation,
yeah.
that it's okay.
Yeah, it is really a releasing process. I love the photo wreath idea, and I actually, that idea is important for anyone who's going through a period of time where they are not themselves. Whether, you know, we know a much younger person right now who's been hospitalized for a while, and it's important for that person.
Yes. Absolutely.
To have that as well,
yes.
because the people in the hospital, literally, they never saw this person before. They
no.
have no idea, you know, that,
and that's
that
she don't want
you know, she
become.
Does marathons or whatever. You know, I mean,
yeah.
she has no idea
yeah.
until you inform them of who this person is, that they're helping and serving. And I just agree that that's hugely beneficial. And I think, you know, when we're younger, we have around our offices, you know, we have awards on the wall and certificates.
Sure. Yeah.
Why don't we have those there
right.
in the care
right.
center? You're
you know,
still that person. Yeah.
Anything you can do to help staff members and caregivers and all to know that what this person had done before, all the things that, you know, what he loved to do. Maybe he does, you know, he doesn't know what fishing is now, but if that's something he loved to do, you know, it very well may trigger a memory or something when he looks at those pictures, you know. But if not, then at least the others that are there to see them will understand more fully what that person was all about and the life that that person lived. So you're right. It doesn't really matter if you know, if it's a dementia patient, if it's an older person or younger one, you know, anybody where they're just walking. We don't want them to become known as Mrs. Jones or Mr. So-and-so or Sam, who is in room 232.
Yeah, right.
We want them to have to know that life that went on before.
And what's really fun now is that we have the option to have my husband set up a big computer screen for my parents-in-law, and it has the pictures of all the families. He downloaded thousands of pictures from all of our, you know, computers into that one, and it just scrolls randomly and very slow.
It
scrolls
that's
very
right.
slow. But it's wonderful, and, you know, a picture to me can bring up a whole memory of something that's long past and make me smile just in the middle of the day, you know, just to see that picture. Oh, look at that. You know, I remember
right.
that, and to trigger a whole conversation with that. When we're thinking about transitions, I want to go back to that topic here a little bit. One of the things that we find with our parents is that we need to be very sensitive to when they are ready. And I know that that's maybe not possible for everybody to do, that there are times when a parent isn't ready for a transition that has to take place, and the child just has to do it in the sake of, you know, protecting the parent's life or whatever. But in the most part, do you agree, are you, and I'm asking you because you've seen so much more than I have, so I only have, you know, a very limited history to draw from, but is it mostly doable to allow your parents to get ready in their own time? Is that frequently the case or not usually?
I think most of the time I would say that it is.
Okay.
There are certainly examples where that's not true and where, you know, it becomes a security issue and a decision
right.
has to be made for them. I totally understand that. Hopefully, and it's one of the reasons that I think it is important to talk about aging, is that, you know, it has made me more aware of wanting to discuss things with my children so that they are not, I want them to know that it's okay, you know, that if something happens and they see that I need help, even if I'm telling them I don't, it's okay. I'm trying to give them that
yeah.
ability to have that information and to know in advance that I'm saying, you know, whether, you know, it's something we should put in writing, you know, as we begin to think about it. But for those that are already, you know, facing, most of the time, they're just feeling this push-pull, and it's, so much of it has to do with, say, giving up the keys to the car. You know, they're struggling with it. Of course, they don't want to hurt anyone, you know, and of course, they don't want to be in a wreck themselves. On the other hand, they're standing over here going, but how will I ever get to go see my friends?
Right.
How am I going to
right.
meet my group of ladies where we have lunch? No one's going to be there to take me. And so I tell, you know, the adult children, I said, that's where standing in their shoes and thinking as they would be thinking about it. You can help, you know, because you can, in the event, let's say that they're going to try to stay in their home, but they're going to give up the keys to the car, then you need to have in place ways to get mom, we've already got it worked out, you know, so-and-so's going to take you on these days, or I'm going to be there, or, you know, whatever it is, work out a plan in advance so that that kind of will help some of that insecurity fall away. But it's just so important to talk about and to notice what it is that's going on with your parent. I have a friend who is the minister of senior adult ministries in a large church in a retirement community. And he was telling me not too long ago that over 50% of his time now is spent in dealing with the children, the adult children who live in another state. And the older parents are members of his church. And he said, you know, they're calling him all the time saying, what are we going to do? You know, I think mom needs to give up the driving. Or have you noticed a difference with dad, you know, and, the, you know, all this kind of thing. So in some ways it does take a village, you know, to work together and to notice things. But I'm not saying, again, that that is an easy thing. But I do think that the more that we can communicate and talk with our parents, our grandparents, you know, take notice of things, you know, look in the refrigerator, how old is the food that's in there, you know, just begin to really pay attention to those things and have that conversation. I do think most of them are pretty aware of what's going on with themselves, but there'll always be those that don't, and we have to be ready to step in.
Speak a few moments to the issue of being a long-distance child of an aging parent. What are some of the best things to put in place if you are in that situation?
You know, absolutely, there are things that we can do, and we, you know, it's tough, of course, being away. But one of my favorite things to do are the little pocket prayers. You know, have every family member to write prayers. You know, and it could be like, you know, the grandchild might write something like, you know, dear God, help my gramps to know how much I love and miss him, you know, and let him feel my hug even though we're 100 miles away, to, you know, however far away. In Christ's name we pray, amen. And you put it on a little card and then laminate those cards, because those older adults will carry those around in their pockets. I have seen this. I have witnessed this, you know. Things, though, that you could do would be like, you know, if your loved one gave you a special memento, or maybe it's an heirloom piece of furniture, maybe it's a set of dishes or something that belonged to her, you know, her grandmother or something that's been in the family that she's entrusted you with, then take a picture of how you are using that item and then send her that picture. And I trust me, she will be so excited to see that. I mean, I experienced this with my mother, and we lived nearby each other, you know. But she loved knowing that I was using the things that she had given me. So if you use her dishes and you put them on your Christmas table, take a picture, you know. Or if it's the painting that you have in your guest room that was her aunt's or something, take a picture and send it to her and let her enjoy that. And then use those things, you know, absolutely use those things and let her, it brings great joy to her, and it will in turn to you.
One of the things that we found that's helpful, we've got some of the kids are close by and then the rest of the kids are far away. And to go ahead and just have family meetings when
yes.
you do get together. And let, you know, their parents absolutely need to be there, but we kind of, you just have to kind of watch and identify when they've had too much, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then you stop for that day and you don't say the family meeting is going to be an hour because maybe they can only take 20 minutes or, you know.
And that is huge,
very,
what you just said. That's one of the things
raw.
I point out in Joy Boosters is that, you know, it may mean adjusting the time that an older person attends the Christmas, you know, if it's an all-day Christmas affair or an Easter affair or whatever it is, you know, that's a family get-together, you know, that can get to the point where it's too much for them, you know. So make sure that, you know, you're doing it where it works for them. If it's an hour, it's an hour and be done, you know. So that is really big. Again, it's trying to understand what life is like as it's changing for them very quickly and trying to be sensitive to that.
Yeah, and I think that your comment a couple times during this interview, you've said, you know, standing in their shoes, trying to understand what
yeah.
it might feel like to be them. And I think that is the hard thing to do because we simply can't. But yet at the same time, we can do better than just run over them.
Right,
we
exactly.
do better than
exactly.
that. So
and, well,
great.
And again, it takes time to do that. It takes time,
it
and
does.
I think for many of us, you know, we're not comfortable with that. It's very difficult for most people to look at their parents and see them in decline. That is very, you know, they will make excuses, they will rationalize it, you know, and instead of identifying it as a natural process, you know, they will just try to deny it. And so it's important that we, as the adult sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters, you know, recognize this is part of the process. You know, it is part of the journey of aging, and no one's going to get out of it alive. You know, I tell people all the time, I said, even Jack LaLanne died. You know, I mean, you know, we can be very health conscious, and hopefully we are, and do all those good things, but eventually our bodies will wear out, and
right.
we have to be, I think, willing to look at that and look at that hard.
I mean, just that old, the old saying that is so true, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you is a good time, instead of just shutting your brain off and pretending this isn't happening, to say, you know, someday that's going to be me.
Right.
In that situation, you know,
right.
Lord willing, if I live that long, and how would I want to be treated? Maybe I could just step it back at least that far.
Exactly. That's good advice.
Well, this is Marnie Swedberg. We're visiting today with Missy Buchanan. Her website is missybuchanan.com. We have one more segment left, and we're going to come back and talk about My Story, My Song, which is the story of Lucy Marianne Roberts, and we're going to learn a little bit more about that together when we come right back, so don't go away.
Successfully maximizing the gifts God has given us is the best gift that we can give back to God. Are you 100% clear about why you're here, about how God defines success for you personally? Are you on track with God's plan for your life, the best life on planet Earth followed by the best possible eternity for you? If not, check out the Success Principles Intensive Training course over at Marnie.com. It's a 6-hour online program that will change how you define and do your life from today forward. It's a biblical based approach to goal setting and achievement. So check it out under the training tab at Marnie.com.
Well, this is Marnie, and I'm so excited that you've been with us this afternoon, and hopefully you are enjoying this conversation that we're having with Missy Buchanan about aging gracefully and helping others around us to age faithfully. And I wanted to spend this last little bit talking about a book that Missy wrote called My Story, My Song. And maybe, Missy, why don't you just go ahead and give us a little background about where that book came from and what the book is about.
Well, it's kind of a fun story. Back in 2008, that first book, Living with Purpose in a Worn Out Body, had just been released. And it was probably, maybe a month after it had been released that I got a phone call at home one day. And I remember that there was a sweet, you know, older voice on the other end. It said, "Is this Missy Buchanan?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And I said, "Is this Missy Buchanan who wrote Living with Purpose in a Worn Out Body?" "Yes, it is." And she said, "Well, you may not know me. My name is Lucy Marianne Roberts, but you might know my daughter, Robin Roberts of Good Morning America." And indeed, I did. Of course, yeah, I've been a loyal Good Morning America viewer for many, many years. And, of course, I knew Robin. And I couldn't imagine, you know, that this darling woman was calling me. And she said, "I had to call and ask you one question. How did you know what was going on in my mind when you wrote that book?" Wow. You know, I mean, I've had some wonderful book reviews, but that one meant the most.
Yeah.
Not that it was Robin's mother, but that it, you know, it just resonated with her. And I remember her telling me that she had read it so many times that she had earmarked it until all of them were earmarked.
Oh,
and but we had this wonderful conversation, you know, just back and forth. And we found that, you know, she had church pew in her home. I had a church pew in my home. You know, we just had all these interesting stories between us. And we just talked like we had been friends forever. And we probably talked for at least a half hour that first time. And then over the next months or so, you know, next year probably, you know, I would write and send her a note, and she would send me a card, and, you know, we just became long-distance friends, and we'd pick up the phone and say, "How are you doing today?" And she was so supportive, and she said, "You just got to keep writing for older adults. This is just so important to me." So that was in 2008, 2009. Then in 2010, in the fall, I had a phone call from Good Morning America, and Robin had discovered our friendship through her mom, and she told her mom that she wanted to bring me to New York, and we were going to tape a segment about aging in faith. And so I went up in September. It didn't air until December, but I went up the very end of September and sat beside Lucy Marianne and Robin across from us. And I remember during the interview, of course, it was, you know, we taped for, I don't know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that, for a very short segment. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of it was just conversation amongst us and all. And I remember at one point, I don't remember what the question was, but I remember that Lucy Marianne was responding about, you know, how she was facing the challenges of aging. And she had given up driving and had many health issues and all. And I remember looking up and seeing Robin's eyes just fill with tears. And at that moment, Robin was no longer a celebrity to me. She was Lucy Marianne's daughter because she was struggling with the same issues of an aging parent as anyone else. You know, no amount of money, no amount of celebridom was going to take that away. And so following that and into the next year, then in 2011, I guess it was, yes, 2011, that Robin had always wanted her mom to write her life stories, just kind of her memoir. And she said, I'll do it, but only if Missy will write it with me.
Oh, nice.
And so it was lovely. And so I went to Pass Christian, Mississippi, where Lucy Marianne lived, and I would stay in a hotel and wait for her to call each day. And because she, not only is Robin on Good Morning America in the morning, her sister Sally Ann, who was Robin's bone marrow donor and whatever recently, is also a news anchor, and she's in New Orleans. And so she had to watch both of her girls each morning.
Oh,
and so
cute.
We usually
Isn't
didn't
cute?
Start until lunch or after. And, you know, I went armed with, you know, all these questions and whatever. And as I was trying to explain about the story prompts a while ago, you know, I could ask a few, but, you know, then her stories would just take off.
Right.
And so I was recording and taking notes, and I've just had the joy of going back and listening to it not long ago and realizing how much we had laughed through the whole thing. You know, it was just
mm-hmm.
it was such fun, such a dear person. So that then led to my story, my song, which is Lucy Marianne's memoirs as she told them to me. And at the end of each chapter, then Robin writes a reflection about whatever that particular theme is. So that was just, you know, as we were talking earlier, it's like, I never expected to do that. So, yes, I do think sometimes if we're just obedient and faithful, you know, God takes us in the most miraculous ways and things that we never thought about doing.
You know, I was just sitting here listening to you thinking, right, do I trust you, God? Do I trust you, God? Do I trust you that you are just, you know, taking all these little, you know, these little turns and twists of
yeah.
life and leading us directly.
Yeah. Oh,
it doesn't feel direct.
You know, and then, of course, you know, Robin, just as the book came out last spring, and that's when Robin found out that she was going to have a bone marrow transplant, and then Lucy Marianne passed away in August. The book came out in April, and then she passed away in August. And, you know, and I thought, what a blessing that Lucy Marianne was able to be at the big book launch. We had a big celebration tea in Pass Christian, and, you know, hundreds of people, and had a huge book signing at the Barnes & Noble there. And she got to hear people come up and talk to her about how she had impacted their lives, you know. I mean, there were children,
right,
boys
right.
and girls clubs. There were people from boards that she'd been on. I mean, just all kinds of people. And I just... when I sat in her tiny little church for her memorial service, her home going as she wanted it, you know, and on the row in front of me, there's Diane Sawyer and George Stephanopoulos and Ben Sherwood, who's ABC News president, you know, and Deborah Roberts. And I'm thinking, wow, you know. And then I look over across the aisle, and there are also her neighbors.
Yeah.
And, you know, people from her church and whatever. And I thought, isn't this, what a wonderful thing, you know, that all these people are here and hearing about her life, but more importantly, that she was able to celebrate such a full life through the launch of that book. So, you know, I'm just so grateful to God that all the timing was what it was. It was just really wonderful.
Wow. one of my business coaches, Linda Lopeck, always says that our lives are really like a movie. And when you get to the end of the movie and it's had all of its scenes and everything like that, at the very end, and there's the scroller, and it's the list of all the people who had any part in making that movie possible. And she said, you know, as we're going through our lives, we have to remember that all of these people are making our life possible. It is not possible without them all. And I love that that happened for her before she passed away. I always say that we should not wait until someone passes away to do that for them, to sing their praises, to tell them how much we love them, to you know, wait. A lot of times we wait for a funeral.
Exactly.
And we need to save them ahead.
Yes, absolutely. Celebrate now. Celebrate now. And I just know how much that meant to her. It was so sweet. As I was shaping the book, and I would go back to Pastor Jan, and I would read her. We'd take it a page at a time. And I said, Lucy Marion, this needs to be, these are your words. You know, I need it to sound like you, not like me, but like you. And so, you know, occasionally she'd change a word or a phrase here or there. Most of the time it was adding something else that she'd thought about. And and she was talking about what, you know, kind of a therapy session it was in many ways, because it's
right.
not all happy times. I don't mean to
sure.
make it sound, because, I mean, she faced some really tough issues
sure.
and racial mm-hmm. injustice, and being married to one of the Tuskegee Airmen, and lived in 27 homes, you know, as being the wife of an Air Force man. And, you know, and I look at that and I think, I am so thankful. I'm just so thankful. And I know her family was as well. They were just so grateful that we were able to get the book out quickly, you know, and that she got to hold it and read it and share it and talk about it and hear the story. So I think that you're absolutely right. Celebrate now. Celebrate
yeah,
now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Missy, this hour has just flown by, and I'm so grateful that you were able to join us today and talk a little bit about boosting the joy of the people in our lives. Joy Boosters is your new book, and I encourage people to check that out. Joy Boosters, 120 Ways to Encourage Older Adults by Missy Buchanan. Your website is missybuchanan.com, and everybody can go over and visit you there, too. And I just wondered if you had maybe just a closing thought. What would you like to leave people with today?
You know, I guess it is that everybody has a story. It's not just Lucy Marion had a story because she was a celebrity mom, you know. Everybody's got a story. And we, as, you know, if we're the younger generations, then we need to hear it, whether we capture it on video, whether we, you know, in many cases, some of the older adults can write those stories down themselves. It doesn't have to be a book, but to capture those stories before they're gone, and then we don't have it. You know, even now, my parents are both deceased. There are times that I'll think about something. I'll go, oh, I wish I would have thought to ask. So, you know, be intentional about that, and celebrate that person's life stories, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, what you do for Mother's Day or Easter or anything else. Make them feel special and make them know that their stories are very special.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, be sure to check out Joy Boosters, 120 Ways to Encourage Older Adults. And Missy Buchanan, thank you, my dear, for being here today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
And thank you all for being here. We will not be having a program next week. I will be traveling, and if you are going to be in the Ocean City or Salisbury area, come and visit me. I'd love to meet you live. And you can find out all about the upcoming events and programs that we have planned for you over at Marnie.com. Just click on the events tab and click on the upcoming events, and you will find that all there. And I just pray that you would have a lovely rest of the day and a lovely week, and we will see you again next time. Bye-bye now.
Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select free updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's free updates over at Marnie.com.